Hello everyone, welcome to the bonus end of year Q&A episode with me, the host of Casefile. This is just a little bonus we put together for our listeners for the end of year. We put a post out on social media a few weeks ago asking if there was any questions that you'd like to ask me, and there was a bit of a response there, so we decided to go ahead and just do this as a bonus end of year thing. These Q&As definitely won't be regular. This is just a one-off, although we do them regularly over on Patreon. So if you're interested, you can go to patreon.com/casefile and check that out. We do the AMAs once a month, as well as a bonus monthly episode called From the Files, which catches you up in all the news and latest developments of past cases that we've covered. Things that happen that aren't substantial enough for their own individual update episode, but are interesting nonetheless. So obviously if there was an arrest in an unsolved case that we've covered, that would be big enough for its own update episode, which we would do and which we have done in the past. But the From the Files is just more smaller news and bits of information and breaking things that are happening, court updates, appeals, things like that. As well as the AMAs and the From the Files bonus episode, you can also get your own RSS feed to put into the player of your choice that supports it, where you'll get ad-free episodes and early release episodes where possible. Sometimes a few days early, sometimes up to a week early. Just depends how things are going. As I said, we did a post a few weeks ago on our social media pages about this Q&A, and that's where all the questions came from. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out on social media. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our Instagram name is Casefile Podcast. The Twitter handle is case_file. And you can also follow me on Twitter if you like. I'm at CaseFileHost. So let's kick it off, shall we? The first question comes from Laura. How long does it take you to research each case? So obviously that's dependent on the case itself. The multi-part episodes take a lot longer than the single-part episodes, and even with the single-part episodes, some take a lot longer than others. But generally speaking, for a single case, 1 hour episode, you'd be looking at a couple of weeks research, another 1 to 2 weeks of actual writing, give or take, of course. And then the recording process will generally take me a day, sometimes 2 days if I'm having a bad session. And then from there, the production and scoring about another week on top. So it's a fairly lengthy process putting episodes together. That's why we have multiple writers. Some are full-time, some work as freelancers, and there's always multiple cases going at any one time. So, for example, at the moment, we've got one that's written that just needs maybe some editing. We've got another 2, 3, 4 that are being written as we speak, and there's another 8 to 10 that are researched that just need to be written. So there's always multiple cases going at once. The next question is from Lindsay. What was the most difficult case to narrate? So I'm not sure if you're talking about difficult in terms of the content or difficult in terms of the pronunciations. If it's the latter, any of the foreign cases do have their difficulties. One that comes to mind is Elodie Morel with the French pronunciations. I had a bit of a tough time with French. And then there's the more recent cases we've done too, the Vampire of Krakow, the Polish case, and the Denny Popetrovsk maniacs, the Ukrainian case. They definitely had some interesting moments as well. But of course, the benefit with the Polish case is that Casefile's producer, Mike Migas, is Polish, so he could do all the pronunciations for me and slow the words down and sort of coach me through it. So that was a bit easier than others. If it was the former you meant in terms of content, it's really hard to pick one. Obviously, we don't really tell happy stories here at Casefile, and they all have difficulties. None of them are a joy to narrate, so I really couldn't pick out one. They're all tough in their own way. And there's definitely been times in the past when I've just stopped mid-narration and said, all right, that's enough for today, just because it was so difficult, the enormity of the story and what was happening. Francis asks, who are you? Will you ever reveal your identity? Nah. From Matthew, can you do a heist episode? Yeah, definitely. There are a few of those on our list of potentials, actually. There's nothing concrete. There's nothing we're actively working on at the moment. But we definitely have plans to do a heist episode in the future, at least one. From Peggy, Do you get depressed from covering such emotionally charged stories? How do you deal with stress? Yes, I don't think depressed would be the right word, but they can definitely take a toll. As I just mentioned, in the past, at mid-narration, I've walked out because it got too much. In terms of how I deal with it personally, I find physical exercise is the best thing for me. So whether that be a run or hill sprints or going to the gym, doing some weights, doing a circuit workout, a bit of boxing or whatever it may be, that's the number one thing for me. But also in more recent times, I've started to get into a bit of meditation as well with help from the Calm app. I've found some great benefits from that, just taking some time out. And yoga as well is another thing that I've gotten into in more recent times. So that all helps. Occasionally though, the answer is a bottle of red. But please drink responsibly. The next question is from Christopher. Is there a story that you would love to tell but can't do it because either it has been done so well by someone else or you don't know if you could do it justice? Yeah, there's a few cases that come to mind, Chris. The West Memphis 3 is probably the first one that sticks out. That's a case that's fascinated me for many years, but at this point, I'm not too sure if we'd ever cover that one. It's been fairly well publicised already. Another one that's coming to mind is probably Jack the Ripper. Again, I'm not sure at this point if that's something we'd ever cover, but possibly. Never say never. Vanessa asks, how old are you? Well, I'm getting old, Vanessa. And Vanessa also asks, best part of doing a podcast? The best part of working on Case File Vanessa is working with such a talented bunch of hardworking people. The writers Millie, Elsha, Eileen, Vicky and Gemma, producer Mike, composer Andrew, social media Bonnie, and all the design work Paulina. They're all amazing, they're all hardworking, they're all great, and it's a pleasure coming to work every day. Even though we don't actually see each other in person. We're from all different parts of Australia. Mike's in the UK, Paulina's in the UK, Vicky's in Argentina, Andrew's in the States. So we're from all parts of Australia and all parts of the globe. But it works well, and they're all an absolute pleasure to work with. Podcast Addict asks, what do you normally do on a Friday night? Probably working on Case File. Takes up a lot of hours of the day and night, Case File. It's pretty full on. Unless the rugby league season's on, and then it's Friday night football all the way. The next question is from Stephanie. What case motivated you to move forward in podcasting and why? So when I decided to first do the podcast, it was the Wanda Beach murders, the case that we covered in episode 1. Living in Australia, it's a case I'd often heard about, it's often spoken about in the media and whatnot. But I realised it's a case that I knew absolutely nothing about, despite hearing about it often. So that's the case I decided to dive into and create the first episode on, and it all started from there. Shay Lee asks, in what ways has your podcast changed since you started? Yeah, so there's been some massive changes, Shay Lee. When I first started, it was just me and my microphone and that's it. And I knew absolutely nothing about audio production or any of that. That's why the audio quality struggled a bit in those early days. But also I wasn't really expecting anyone to listen. I thought it might get 3 listens and that'd be it. I'd do 3 episodes and it would all sort of end. But after those first couple of episodes, it got more and more listens. By episode 7, it was at a couple of thousand listens each episode, which was well beyond anything I expected. So I realised that I should probably bring in some help for the audio. I advertised on the freelancing website, and that's where I found Mike Megas, the producer of Case File, who's still the producer today. And he came in and helped clean up all the audio and get it to a proper standard. Educated me on microphones and recording setups and all the rest of it, and just managed to improve the audio quality over time. And of course, the rest of the team was assembled after that as well. Working full time, it was very difficult to try and get an episode out regularly, so I brought in extra help. And that's how the talented team of writers that we've assembled came to be. And then of course, as it grew and grew, I realised we probably needed help with social media as well, because I have very little idea what I'm doing on social media. So we brought in Bonnie, all the design work done by Paulina, Paulina is the partner of our producer, Mike, so that's how Paulina came on board. And we also brought in Andrew to help with the music composition. So it's just sort of gradually built over time, the team. It started small and then we added Vicky as the first writer, freelance writer, and now it's grown into two full-time writers in Millie and Elsha. And we still have the three freelance writers in Eileen, Vicky and Gemma. So yeah, massive changes. It's gone from me, my microphone and my laptop in my spare room to now a team assembled from all across the globe. But for me, my setup is still based in my spare room. That part hasn't changed. Just the recording setup has improved significantly since those early days. The next question is from Amelia. Do you ever go to meetups anonymously? No, I do not, Amelia. I've never crashed an appearance anywhere. No secret guest appearances. Good idea though. I might do that one day in the future. See if anyone can pick my voice. Amelia again, which is your favourite case file episode? I honestly don't have a favourite episode. I couldn't pick one. The next question is from Karen. Which case was emotionally the hardest for you to research and produce? My guess is Snowtown. Yep, that was definitely up there, Karen, for sure. But they're all difficult in their own way. So again, I really couldn't pick one because they're all difficult. The next question is from Andrew. Are there crimes occurring at the moment that you pencil in to cover at a later date? Or do you wait until enough all stones are turned over? Yeah, there's cases we keep an eye on for sure as they're unfolding. But it doesn't necessarily mean we'll cover them in the future. But we do keep an eye on what's going on around the country and around the world. We'll often get tweeted or emailed about stories as they're developing as well from other parts of the globe that might not make the news here, so otherwise we wouldn't know about. Anastasia asks, when Casefile decides to call it a day and hang up the microphone, will you reveal who you are? Nah, probably not. But the good news is we have no plans to call it a day. We will be continuing long into the future. Lee, what do you do for laughs? Well, getting on the beers with friends is always good for a laugh or two. But in terms of stand-up comics and comedy movies, I'm a big fan of Adam Sandler. Mostly his older stuff, yeah, but big fan of his movies. My favourite stand-up comic is Jim Jefferies. Also loved Joe Rogan's last couple of stand-up specials on Netflix. They cracked me up. Some classic comedy movies that I go to for a laugh. Napoleon Dynamite, one of the greats. Night at the Roxbury, an all-time classic. And the Austin Powers movies come to mind as well. I love that piss-take comedy. The next question is from Barry. What's the backstory to Casefile? How did it all begin, and did you ever imagine that it would end up so popular that people around the world can't wait to hear the next episode? I most definitely didn't imagine that, Barry. As I've said before, I expected like 3 people to maybe listen to it if I was lucky. I was always hopeful. I thought it would be awesome if I could get to 1,000 listens per episode. And that happened a lot quicker than I thought. So I still remember thinking how amazing that was at the time, and then it just continued to grow and grow and grow and went way beyond anything I ever imagined. We're sitting at somewhere over 1 million downloads per episode now, and it's just mind-boggling. I struggle to comprehend it sometimes. As to the backstory of Casefile, so I was laid up on the lounge for a while as I managed to get my knee bent in a way that knees aren't supposed to go, snapping my MCL and ACL. So I was out of action for a while, and before they could even do the ACL repair, I was in a knee brace and doing nothing for about 6 weeks because they had to wait for the MCL to heal before they could repair the ACL. So it was a bit of a bludger of an injury. And unfortunately, it wasn't my first injury. I'd had a couple of back-to-back injuries in quick succession. So I was sitting around and I was feeling a bit sorry for myself, and I just needed something to put my focus and energy into. Usually it would be some sort of physical activity, but that was a little bit difficult at the time. So a podcast is always something that I thought would be cool to do. I just didn't really have any concrete plans. Sitting around injured and having a lot of time on my hands and needing to put my focus and energy on something to just for my mental health more than anything else. My favourite podcast is The Joe Rogan Experience. I listen to most episodes. And it just so happened at that time, Joe was on a bit of a roll telling, it was directed at his guests, not the listeners, but he was telling pretty much every guest that came on in back-to-back episodes, you should start your own podcast. You know, everyone should start their own podcast. You know, just do it, basically. And that message sort of wore off, and it was something that I'd always thought would be cool as well. And sort of the planets aligned, I suppose, while I had a banged up knee and I had a lot of time on my hands, and I thought, well, now's the time. True crime was something that was always a bit of an interest as well. And back then, there was nowhere near as many true crime podcasts as there is now. Obviously, there was Serial, the big one that started it all. And there was a few others as well. And I thought there was a market for what we do at Casefile, a more in-depth, single narration, storytelling-based podcast, a bit similar to Hardcore History, which is another favourite podcast of mine. So that's how it all came together. At first, I was cursing my luck at getting yet another injury, another serious injury that was a good 12 months of rehab before it was back to 100% again. But it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. The next question is from Paul. Case 18, the North Hollywood shootout, was the first episode I listened to, and it still remains my favourite. I quickly watched YouTube documentaries and the Michael Madsen film 44 Minutes. Has a Case File episode ever fascinated you so much that you wanted to read and watch as much as you could about it? Yeah, pretty much all of them, Paul. The way we do things at Case File is every case we cover, we pretty much read and watch everything we can about it. So yeah, the answer is all of them. But with that case, the North Hollywood shootout, I still remember when it happened. It made the news over here, and I still remember that to this day. I remember it vividly. I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing, what house I was living in at the time, what room I was watching the news report in. I was just couldn't believe what I was watching. It was like a movie, but real life. It was just crazy to me. It always stuck with me, that case. And I knew once I started Case File, it was definitely a case I wanted to cover at some point. Sarah asks, have you thought about doing more New Zealand cases? Yeah, we definitely have, Sarah, and we do have a few on our list of cases to do in the future. So there will be more New Zealand cases coming for sure. The next question is from Evie. What is the criteria for selecting a subject to do on the show? Do you take into account current affairs or do a theme? Basically, it all comes down to the researcher, writer, what case they want to cover. We're pretty open here at Case File, and whatever case most appeals to the researcher or writer, they generally can do. There are a few that we've sidestepped in the past, but mostly it's up to them. So it could be a case that's always interested them, that they've always wanted to do. It can also come from recommendations, suggestions. We get emailed about cases or on social media. Occasionally, you'll come across a case while researching another case, so you'll jot that down to look at after, and we've done plenty of cases that way before as well. So there's all different ways it can happen, but generally it's up to the researcher and writer. There's no set criteria or themes that we follow. It's all very random. Regan asks, do you prefer covering unsolved crimes or solved? Any particular case I'd like to cover in the future? My preference is unsolved cases, and there's a lot that I would like to cover in the future, both unsolved and solved, but there's a lot on my list. The next question is from Christy. What is the most challenging thing about narrating Case File? Pronunciations, particularly from foreign cases, as I mentioned earlier, they can be very tricky. But also just the narrating process itself. There's something that happens when you hit the record button. Well, there's something that happens to me anyway. I believe they call it red light fever. I hit the record button and all of a sudden I don't know how to speak anymore. It's weird. That's why the recording process can take so long too, because I make so many mistakes. I have to do a lot of redos. The next question is from Annalise. Are there any cases you are too afraid to cover? No, I can't say there is. There's definitely nothing that I've come across where we've been too afraid to cover at all. Annalise also asks, if there's any unsolved case you could know the truth about, what would it be? That's a tough question, and I couldn't nominate one. All of them, every unsolved case we've covered, I hope and want them to be solved one day. Danny asks, If the alleged Golden State Killer invited you to do a face-to-face interview, would you do it? Yeah, absolutely, Danny. I can't see that ever happening, but I would without a second's hesitation. The next question is from Diane. At what age did you become interested in true crime? I can't remember what age I was, Diane, but I remember the first thing I saw that got me interested in true crime was a TV show here in Australia called Blue Murder. Or it wasn't really a TV show, it was a straight-to-TV movie, I believe. And that was based on police corruption and gangland sort of crime in the 80s in Australia. The underbelly of Sydney. So after watching that, I tracked down all the books I could that were about the events that took place there. There's books from police officers, corrupt police officers and criminals, detailing sort of different things that happened. Yeah, it just got me hooked. I read everything I could about it. After that, the West Memphis 3 was a case that became a bit of an obsession. And the book Helter Skelter was another one that intrigued me. So they're the first three cases that got me into true crime. The next question is from Jen. Has there ever been a time that you thought maybe someone recognised you just by the sound of your voice? Any other anecdotes about people mentioning Case File to you without realising you're the host? Nah, nothing really that comes to mind, Jen. I've had friends tell me stories where people that they know have mentioned to them about Case File, like, oh, have you heard this true crime podcast? And they're sort of like, yeah, I know the person who does that. Or at least they're thinking that. They don't necessarily say that, but yeah, nothing directly where anyone's come up to me and started talking about Case File. Oh, actually, there is one funny story. Some relatives came to stay, and when they walked into the house, they sort of saw this recording booth and obviously wanted to know what that was all about, what gets recorded in here. And I just tried to deflect the question and sidestep around it, and eventually the word podcast came out, and then the look of recognition came across their faces. Oh my God, you're the Case File person. So yeah, they picked me and started freaking out a bit because they didn't know that I did the Case File podcast. And I didn't know they listened to it actually. So we both learned something that day. Dago asks, what is my favourite song? Such a tough question. It would probably depend on what day you ask me, but the song that's coming to mind at the moment is New Noise by Refused. Another one that comes to mind is Rookie by Boy Sets Fire. So they're the two that just jumped out at me. But if you ask me tomorrow, I'll probably give you a different answer. The next question is from Anita. Actually, Anita has a few questions here. The first one, do you know how to cook? I do like cooking, Anita. It's not always a success. You know, there's some hits, some misses, but I do enjoy it. Am I a tidy person? Mostly. Do I exercise daily? Not every day, but most days. My favourite outfit? Don't have one. Well, maybe my Roosters jumper, a rugby league team here in Australia. That's my favourite outfit, my favourite thing to wear. The next question is from Winter. Do you ever personally travel to locations where the crimes you cover took place, especially living and covering so many Australian cases? Not usually, no, but I have done in the past. Shayla asks, would you rather fight a drop bear or a hoop snake? I heard the drop bears were pretty nasty when I was backpacking through Australia. Oh, that's a tough question. Bear or a snake? Don't like my chances against a bear. I'll have to try and take on the snake. But I don't like snakes. Shelley asks, what podcasts do you listen to? The Joe Rogan Experience, Hardcore History, Jocko Podcast, and during rugby league season, I listen to a few rugby league podcasts. Six Tackles with Gus is really good, and the Triple M Saturday and Sunday shows, which are actually radio shows, but they release them as podcasts. And the Fantasy Footballers is another one I listen to. The next question is from Dagny, a really important question too. What's your opinion on Vegemite? I love Vegemite, but the secret is use it sparingly. You don't want to load it up like it's Nutella. Just a light spread, light spread. Less is more. The next question is from Taryn. Are there any plans to incorporate other international cases from places like South Africa or elsewhere? Yep, most definitely, Taryn. We do have at least two cases, I believe, from countries where we haven't covered cases before. And it's something we're always open to. We'll cover a case from any country. It doesn't matter where it happened. Deborah asks, do you like your name Casey? Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I think it's a great name. Cracked me up when I first heard that, Casey McCaseville. Dager asks, are you as fond of your voice as we freaks are? I am most definitely not. Cannot stand the sound of it. There is nothing more torturous than during recording having to go back and listen just to make sure you recorded a particular section correctly. And it's for that reason that once I've done my narration and send it off to Mike to start the production process, I am done with the episode. I don't listen to the fully produced episode once it's released. I can't handle the sound of my own voice. I'll listen back during narration, as I said, just to check everything's all good. But the fully produced episode with the music and all that, nope. Not for me. The next question is from Chris. Are there any plans to do another 5-episode epic? Yep, we do have something cooking at the moment, Chris. I'm not sure if it'll be 5 episodes or how many it will be exactly, but there is another big one coming. That'll be out next year. I have no idea when exactly, but at some stage next year, it'll be out. Steph asks, do I have a favourite episode I've covered? No, impossible. I couldn't pick one. I definitely don't have favourites or anything like that. We just try to do the best we can with each episode. Try and do the best job we can. Which episode was the hardest to research, write and record? So I think I touched on that earlier with the pronunciations, and all of them are difficult. In more recent times, the Sean Kingy and the Becky Watts episodes were extremely difficult to put together. They were shocking. I remember multiple times I just had to get up and walk away and either go for a long run or go to the gym and put in a hard session. Some sort of physical activity is definitely my go-to when things get a bit too heavy when putting episodes together though. That's the number one thing. But as I said earlier, also trying to incorporate meditation and yoga and things like that as well, just to balance it all out a bit. Black Sheep asks, are there any well-known cases that you would not cover for whatever reason? Well, I guess the main reason that we wouldn't cover a well-known case is that it's already well-publicised. So OJ Simpson is one that comes to mind. And I mentioned earlier, like the West Memphis 3 and Jack the Ripper. They're very well-publicised at this point in time. It doesn't mean we'd never do them. I'd never say never, as we have covered well-publicised cases in the past. So there's always the possibility, but generally that would be the number one reason why we wouldn't. The next question, how many listeners have we got? That's a difficult one to answer, as the amount of downloads you get doesn't translate to how many listeners you have, because there's people that might listen to episodes multiple times and things like that. But we're beyond 200 million downloads now overall, so that's a pretty mind-boggling figure. Hard to wrap my head around. The next question is from CD. What was your reaction when you heard they'd caught the East Area Rapist, aka the Golden State Killer? You can actually hear my reaction, CD, because I turned the microphone on and let loose. I believe it opened up with something like, wow, what a fucking day, or something similar to that. So yeah, go back and check out the Case 53 update episode we did, and my reaction is there for you. The next question is from JC. Now that you have a whole amazing crew, have you ever thought about going back to earlier, shorter episodes and adding more research? I love all your episodes, but have noticed your earlier stuff is about half as long. Funny you asked that, JC, because I had that very thought only this morning. It's something I've considered on and off in the past, but I was only thinking about it this morning, just wondering what could be if we went back to some of those earlier episodes. I think we could greatly improve them. Part of me thinks maybe they should just stay as they are, but another part of me thinks I'd really like to go back and tear into a few of them. Do like a remastered, re-released edition or something. The next question is from Tony. When the host goes to do his grocery shopping, does he narrate his trip to Woolworths with suspense music in the background? I can honestly say I've never done that, Tony. My trips to Woolworths are generally pretty boring affairs. Might be listening to some music or a podcast or something. The next question is from Adrian. As your style of delivery has changed through experience and knowledge, is there any episode you wish you could retell? Yeah, well, I guess that touches on the question we just had of going back to earlier episodes. That's another thing I think that could be improved is the narration of some of those earlier episodes, as well as boosting the content and improving the delivery of the story. There's not one episode that sticks out, but quite a few of those earlier ones I think could be improved. The next question is from Michael, and it's the last question. What music do you listen to? I listen to a lot of music, Michael. So my favourite genre of music would be punk music, closely followed by metal, but I also listen to a lot of other stuff, like occasionally I'll throw on some classical music, and I really like Billy Joel, Bon Jovi, Queen, and a lot of other stuff. But punk, pop punk, hardcore, heavy metal, that's probably my favourite styles. And how all that started was with Blink-182. So before Blink-182 came along, I have no idea what I was listening to, just whatever was in the top 40, I suppose. But the song Damn It was released, and that hooked me forever. So I bought the album Dude Ranch from Blink-182, then became a massive fan of them. Then from there, sort of started branching out a little bit because I'd read magazine interviews and read the notes inside the CD as to what other bands they thanked, and then go to the CD shop and check out the CDs from them. So bands like NOFX, Lagwagon, Bad Religion, Strung Out, No Use for a Name. Some of my favourite bands of all time that I still listen to regularly today. Plenty of Australian bands that make that list as well. Gyroscope, Frenzel Rom, Body Jar, Grinspoon, Nerdlinger, The Decline, The Living End, Silverchair, The Smith Street Band, just to name a few. This could be a 5-hour episode if you let me loose on music. It's a great love of mine, but other bands that come to mind that I love, Nirvana, Metallica, Avenged Sevenfold, Teenage Bottle Rocket, Boy Sets Fire, The Lillingtons, Direct Hit, and I better stop there, otherwise this will never end. But while we are on the subject of music, I do have a cool case file story. We have weekly Skype meetings here at Case File. So a few months ago, I'm sitting there and Elsha's on the screen. Elsha's our newest full-time writer who started working with us earlier this year. And I noticed Elsha was wearing a P Records t-shirt. P Records is an independent hardcore punk label here in Australia. A lot of good bands, a lot of good releases. So I thought, oh, how cool. Elsha's got good taste in music. I asked the question, Elsha, what bands do you like on P Records? Imagine my surprise when Elsha said, well, I'm actually in a band on P Records. Wasn't expecting that. So it turns out, Elsha is a case file writer by day, front woman of a hardcore band by night. Her band's called She's the Band, and their latest release is an EP called A Place of Our Own, which has just been released on P Records a few months ago. They're very good, so if you're into the punk hardcore thing, be sure to check them out on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to music. My favourite song would be Stranded from their album One from the Top Shelf that was released a few years ago. Top tune. So yeah, that's a pretty cool case file story. And that wraps up the AMA for today. Thanks again for everyone for submitting your questions. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them, there were simply too many. But we really appreciate it. We appreciate your support. Thank you for listening. As I mentioned earlier, if you want to hear more AMAs, head to patreon.com/casefile. And if you sign up there, you can get access to the back catalogue of all the previous AMAs we've done, and we do a new one monthly. There's also that From the Files episode, keeping you up to date with all the latest news and things that are going on. Check us out on social media, give us a follow, say hello. We try to reply to as many people as we can. We'll be back with brand new episodes in late January. So a little bit of a break, but not too long. We'll see you again soon.